Have your Bibles this morning. We'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Exodus. We'd like to read from Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We'd like to begin reading. Well, for the sake of time, I'm going to begin reading with the. I'm going to go ahead and start with the first verse. Exodus chapter 15. Beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 13. Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying." Now this is right after the children of Israel came out of the Red Sea. They've just come through the Red Sea, and God has delivered them out of Egypt, and God has led them through the Red Sea. And after they come through the Red Sea, first thing they do is they sing the song that we're going to be now reading. "And then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." If correctly read, that's Exodus chapter 15, the first 13 verses. Before we begin to endeavor to study from the Word of God, I would ask you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have, even as Moses and all the children of Israel sang this song. We have a great, wonderful privilege to know the same God that delivered them is the God who has delivered us. The same God who led them and guided them and fed them and provided for them is the one who has led us and guided us and fed us and directed us in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for all the different things that you have done for us and that you are doing for us today. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us, that we would praise thee and honor thee and glorify thee for all the wonderful works of God that have been manifest in our unworthy lives. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come into thy house this day, the privilege to be in thy house and to sing songs of praise and to feel the presence of God with us. We thank you for thy holy word, and we pray that thou would bless us now as we study the word of God, thou would bless us to hear and understand and believe and obey and rejoice in the truth of thy word. We thank you, Lord, for every individual who's here today and each family that's represented. We thank you, Lord, for our godly mothers. We thank you for the mothers and grandmothers and the mothers of Zion that we've been able to have as great spiritual examples. We thank you for the love from the mothers. We thank you for their guidance, their gentleness, their kindness. We thank you for all the sacrifices that they have made as mothers. Thank you for the many times that they have prayed for us. They have done things to help us in our lives. We're thankful that we've been able to depend on our mothers, that when we call them and we need them, they're always there. And we thank you, Lord, that we have a Heavenly Father also that's always with us, even if we think of David of old, who said that when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord shall lift me up. So when we lose our mothers, we pray that we might always remember the Jerusalem that's from above, that's the mother of us all, and remember that we have a Heavenly Father. So bless all those who've lost their mothers, comfort them, and bless them in a very special way. Be with us now and help us as we try to study Thy Holy Word. Teach us and instruct us, we pray in the name. And Lord, we beg you to help those who are sick. There are so many that are on our hearts and minds who stand in great need of Thy help. And we know that you're the great physician, that Thou hast all power in heaven and in earth. We know that you're able to touch and heal and lift up. But we know also, Lord, that death is not the end of life. That in the very moment that we draw our next breath, we're going to be home with Thee forever. And we look forward to that day. And we pray that Thou would help us not to sorrow as others who have no hope. But when there are those that are taken home to be with Thee, help us to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us to bow to the will of God. Help us to be humble before Thee in every way. Again, now help us as we study. We pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the great high priest, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want us to go back this morning and look at the 13th verse. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 13. The Word of God says that as they were singing, they said, Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. There are two main statements that I want you to think about. The first one is that they are singing and they say, Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Remember that. That God had led forth the people that He had redeemed. And then a second statement that I believe is different from that, when He says, And Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. And I want us to think about that as God led forth the children of Israel, the main thought that I see in that is when He leads people forth, He's bringing them out of something. He's led them forth. He's led them away from something. He's led them out of something. And then the Word of God says that He has guided us unto Thy holy habitation. That's God not just leading us out of something, but God leading us into something else. And they're praising God. They're glorifying God. They're worshiping God. They're singing to the Lord because the Lord led them out. He led them forth out of something, but He also led them into something. And I believe that just as God led the children of Israel who were redeemed by God, that there's a redeemed family of God, that God has led us forth out of some things and He has led us into some things. What are some of the things that God has led us forth out of that we ought to be praising Him for? And what are some things that God has led us into or guided us into that we ought to be praising God for? When you go through the Word of God and you just think about your own lives, there are so many things that God has led us forth out of. The Word of God tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 that God has led us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, just as God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, He led them forth out of the land of Egypt, and He guided them into His holy habitation. He guided them into the land of Canaan. God has led us forth out of darkness. You realize that we were We weren't just in darkness, but the Word of God says we were darkness. And God has led us forth out of darkness. And that can apply to so many things. One thing is sin. God has led us forth out of sin. Did you know that in most of our lives that we can look back and we can declare that there were times that sin controlled and ruled and reigned in our lives? That there was a time that we were in bondage to sin. And God, you know, the only reason that you're not sinning in those ways today is because God led you forth out of those conditions, and God then guided you into His holy habitation. He leads us out of sin and leads us into righteousness. What does David say in the 23rd Psalm? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Well, do you know why we know what those paths of righteousness are? It's because God has led us out of sin and He has guided us into paths. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, what ought we to be doing? What did the children of Israel do when they looked and they saw that God had led them forth out of Egypt and guided them into His holy habitation? What did they do? They sang and they praised the Lord. They honored Him. They worshiped Him. And they served Him. Why? Because God had done something good for them. Has God done something good for you? Has He led you forth out of things? And has God led you into some good things? Has God led you away from the world and led you and guided you into His church? I believe with all of my heart, brethren, the only reason that I am here today is because God led me and guided me here. How are we all here? What is it that brought you here? There's something that brought us into this particular church. Did you know that? And it wasn't by chance. It was the hand of God that led us forth and guided us into His holy habitation. And there are so many times that God leads us out of something and into something wonderful because we're crying unto Him. But there are other times that God has led me out of something bad and into something good, not because I begged Him to lead me out and guide me into something wonderful, but God in His mercy and grace just reached down and He brought me out and led me into something wonderful. How many times in our lives has God delivered us from things that were out there in the world that we weren't even crying and begging God to lead us away from? Brethren, God has led me from a life of a sea of turmoil, a horrible life. He's led me out of that life of a world of hatred and animosity and anger. And He's led me out of that sea of turmoil into, what does David also, this just came to me in Psalm 23, he says, He leadeth me beside the, if you're thinking about a sea of turmoil and trouble and strife, He leadeth me beside the what? The still waters. Do you know the only reason that you know what it means to be led by the still waters is because God has opened your eyes and blessed you to see? There was a time that I was out there in that horrible sea of storm of chaos and confusion. Do you remember that there were times that you were out there and your life was in turmoil and strife and confusion and there was nothing but trouble in your life, and God has led you out of that sea and now He leads you beside the still waters? God led these people through some waters, didn't He? He led them through the Red Sea. And those same waters that God parted for the children of Israel to be led through on dry ground, and they came through on the other side, it was the Lord who led them through. But God used those same waters that were on each side of the children of Israel. God led them through, and then God brought those waters down on their enemies and destroyed the Egyptians. Has God led you forth out of some things? Has God led you out of ignorance? Did you know there are times that I have not known and understood In fact, I still don't, by the way. P.S. I don't know it all. There are a lot of things that I have not known. There were a lot of things that I was taught as I was growing up. There are a lot of the ways of God I was taught. There are a lot of the things in the Word of God I was taught. But listen, brethren, as we grow older, if we study and we seek God's guidance, God leads us out of ignorance into a knowledge of the truth. And we need to thank God and praise God because He's the only one who led us out of ignorance into a knowledge of the truth. He led us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He led us out of the sea of turmoil beside to the still waters. And God, the list just goes on and on of what God has led us out of and what God has guided us into. Do you see what Exodus chapter 15 and verse 13 is saying? It says, Thou hast, or He says, Thou, and I didn't even mention this, and it's very important. Thou in Thy mercy. What did I deserve to be led out of darkness into His marvelous light? What did I do to deserve to be led out of sin into paths of righteousness? What did I deserve, if you think about the long list of things He's led us forth out of and the wonderful things He has led us into? What did I do to deserve that? I did nothing to deserve it. Thou in Thy mercy. It's the mercy and the grace of God. That's the only reason you've been brought from a horrible condition into a wonderful condition. That's the only reason you've been brought from the world into the presence of the Lord, is because of the mercy of God. And what does that make you want to do? What did the children of Israel do? They were just praising God, worshiping God, singing praises to the Lord, because the Lord had been so good to them. Has the Lord been good to you? Has the Lord led you forth? You know, this is mentioned a number of times to the children of Israel. God tells them, you better remember what I led you out of. And you better remember what I've led you into. God tells them, He says, you better remember, you better not forget that I led you out of the bad things and I led you into the good things. You better remember. You better, He says, in a negative way, He says, beware lest thou forget that the Lord thy God is the one who led thee and fed thee and guided thee through the wilderness. He led us out of Egypt. He led us through the wilderness and He led us to His, notice the last expression there, He says, Thou hast guided them into Thy strength, in Thy strength unto what? Thy holy, what? Habitation. Well, what's a habitation? Somebody tell me what a habitation is. Okay, it's a dwelling place. It's your home. It's a place where, and then He says, Now you've led me out of something into Thy holy habitation. Have you ever had the privilege of dwelling and being led into God's holy habitation? Now, what is God's holy habitation? Well, it can be a number of different things. It can be your home. When your home is not founded on the principles of righteousness, but you begin to follow what God's Word says the home ought to be, and husbands begin to love their wives as Christ also loved the church, and wives begin to submit themselves unto their husbands, and children begin to honor their parents, and parents begin to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and fathers provoke not their children to wrath, and the Word of God teaches all the responsibility that we have in the home, and when the home is founded on what God's Word says the home ought to be, you know who's going to dwell in that home? You know who's going to dwell in that home? God will dwell in that home. And He won't dwell in a home that won't follow His Word, by the way. But He will dwell in a home that will follow His Word. And what has God led us out of? He's led us out of a horrible world into His holy habitation. I'm glad I can feel the presence of God in my home. And God's also led me to His home in the church. The church is the habitation of God. In His mercy, He has led us forth, and He has guided us into His holy habitation. This church is not our church. Please don't refer to it as our church. It's not our church. Jesus claims it's His church. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. And He calls the church of God, it's the house of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the church is. It's the holy habitation of God. It's where God dwells. And God says He will dwell in His holy habitation. And do you know who led you to this holy habitation? It was God. So the family can be His holy habitation. And the church can be His holy habitation. And certainly the kingdom of heaven, someone mentioned that, the kingdom of heaven is certainly His holy habitation. But did you know you can get right down to your personal life, just you, just you. And the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the, what? The temple of God. The temple of God. Who is it that God will come and dwell in this and make this His holy habitation? You go home and study John chapter 14. The Word of God tells us there that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. And when we keep His commandments, Jesus says, I will come unto you, and me and my Father will come and dwell with you. That makes your body His holy habitation. When you love Him and keep His commandments, He will dwell with you and He will abide with you. And the only reason is because God is the one who led us forth, and God is the one who guided us into His holy habitation. Go with me in your Bibles. Go forward in your Bibles, please. I want you to notice in the book of Psalms, look at Psalm 48. Listen to verse Psalm 48. Please look in your Bibles at Psalm 48, verse 14. How does God, as we're going to be looking at this verse of Scripture about God guiding us. How does God guide us? Just think about that for a few minutes. How? See, the text says that God in His mercy has led us forth and guided us into His holy habitation. Have some songwriters written about God leading us? Just name one or two songs that you can think of. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. He leadeth me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To think about God leading us. Sometimes we just don't even realize that God's leading us. But He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Another one, think of another one that talks about God leading us or guiding us. Okay, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Now, is that songwriter begging God to guide him in his life? Does he know he needs God to guide him? Do you know where I would be and you would be if God had not led us forth and if God had not guided us in our lives? Do you know where we would be? Well, first of all, we'd be in eternal hell when this world is over, but I'm talking about right here in this world. You know where you would be if God had not led you forth and guided you into His holy habitation? You'd be living in a world of chaos and turmoil and trouble and confusion. God guides us. Look at Psalm 48 now. Psalm 48, verse 14, the Word of God says, For this God, Psalm 48, verse 14, the Word of God says, For this God is our God. Now, are there a lot of other little G-O-D-S in this world? Are there a lot of little gods in this world? And do we sometimes follow the wrong little gods instead of the one true and living God? Sometimes we follow the wrong gods. But now, the psalmist is saying there is a God that is above all the gods of this world, that there's only one true and living God. And he says, now that's the God. This God is our God. How long? Forever and ever. And then he says, He will be our guide even unto death. Now, we're going to see that there are qualifications to that. Okay? He will be our guide even unto death. First, let's just think about the positive. Is it a blessing to have that assurance? He will guide me all the days of my life. He will guide me even unto death. No matter how old I get, will God still guide me? Will He still lead me and guide me and help me and bless me? No matter how old I get, He will guide me even unto death. Just remember that right now. How does God lead you and guide you? Let's talk about that in just a moment. Well, first of all, God leads you and God guides you by His Spirit. How many of you have ever just felt led to do something and you weren't really seeking guidance, you just felt led to do something? Have you ever felt the leadership of the Spirit of God? The Scripture says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God leads us by His Spirit. God leads us personally. The God of heaven and earth is so amazing, and so His ways are past finding out, that God would actually come and guide you and me in all the decisions we make in life. Do you know when I get in trouble is when I don't ask Him to guide me. But God will guide me even unto death. And He guides us personally. He guides us without. Can God lead you without using anybody else or anything else? Can God just lead you by His Spirit without using anybody? Yes, He can. Now, can God sometimes lead you and guide you by using someone else? Does God sometimes do that also? He does. We just have been thinking about Mother's Day. Does God give us mothers to guide us? I believe that He does. I believe that God gave me my mother. And I thought a lot this past week about, I asked Teresa one day, I said, what's the one thing that stands out the most about your mother? What's the one thing when you think about your mother, what are you the most thankful for? And she had a completely different kind of background than I did. So what she was thankful for was completely different than what I was thankful for. And you could go over this congregation and you'd have all kinds of different reasons that you're so thankful for your mother. But Teresa said, see, her daddy died when she was 11 years old. And her mother had to work for years and years until all six of those children were grown. Her mama worked, worked, worked. They stayed in other people's homes a lot of times. Other people helped take care of them. But her mother worked hard. They didn't have all kinds of these social programs they do today to help in situations like that. And the church didn't take care of her family. Now, there were a few church members that did, but what I'm telling you she was most thankful for was that she had a mama that cared enough to work night and day to help provide for those six children. Now, that's a good mama. You know it? That's a good mama. And when I think about my mama and what I think about that I'm most thankful for, it's her spirituality, it's her example, and I guess what I appreciate the most is I can remember most nights when I would go to bed, and I still ask my wife to do this sometimes. I'll say, because my mama always did this, she always tucked me in every night. And she'd come sit down beside the bed and I'd sit down on the side of the bed and she'd pull the covers up and gently tuck them around. How many of you mamas tuck your children in bed? I'll tell you, you're missing a great blessing. Your children are missing a blessing if you don't tuck your children in bed. They need to be tucked in bed. Just have mama sit down beside you and talk to you and ask you about your day and talk about how good God's been to our family and take those covers and tuck them in and rub your back and rub your stomach and rub your face and I'll tell you, there's just nothing like a mama's hand. Did you know that? A mama's hand is special. My mama's hand, I could line all you women up and all of you touch my face or back and I could tell you when I get to my mama's hand. You know why? Because of years and years and years of my mama's hand. Now, my mama guided me. I remember times that I would do something wrong. I remember the worst thing I ever did as a little kid. I was about 6 or 7 years old and I did something wrong. Me and some, you know, I got in the wrong crowd. You know, that's how everybody does it. You know, getting the wrong crowd. Well, that's what those other kids' parents said about me was I was the wrong crowd. My mama said I got in the wrong crowd by getting with them. But I did something wrong with some other kids, and I got. And that night, when my mama was sitting there and we were talking about the Lord and everything, I just started boo-hooing, crying. Do you know why? Because I could feel the presence of God convicting me, and I'd carried that burden all day long about what I'd done wrong during that day. And I'll tell you, I'm glad I had a mama sitting there that I could just start crying and tell her what I'd done wrong and confess what I'd done wrong. And many times I would tell her what I'd done wrong, and she would guide me and tell me, okay, you're going to have to go back to those people, and you're going to have to talk to those people, and you're going to have to tell them what you've done wrong. You know who gave me my mama? God gave me my mama. And she's guided me. Now, who guided me, really? Who's the great guide? Who's the true guide? Who's the guide above them all? That's God. But does God give us some people to guide us in our lives? Does God use preachers to guide His people? You remember how Philip went to preach to the eunuch, and when he was preaching to the eunuch, or got there to the eunuch, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the eunuch said, "How can I, except some man, what? Guide me." Well, could God have just opened up the Scriptures and blessed him to see that? God could have. And no doubt many times God had already blessed him to understand truth in the Word of God through His Spirit, taught him directly. But in this particular instance, he was confused, and God had not personally shown him by His Spirit. And so He sent Philip to teach the man. And Philip began to teach the man. Philip began to preach Jesus unto him from that passage of Scripture. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Was he still guiding him? Was he still telling him there's something you've got to do? You've got to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was Philip guiding the eunuch? Have you ever had men that have guided you in your life? My daddy guided me. There have been a lot of other men that have guided me in my life. I've had teachers that were excellent guides. Those of you who are teachers, let me tell you, God has you as a guide in a lot of people's lives. And those of you who work out there in the world, God will use you as a guide in other people's lives at work every day. God will use you as a guide. Go with me to Psalm 77 very quickly. Look in your Bibles, please. Look in your Bibles at Psalm 77 and verse 20. I want you to see that God, in guiding and leading His people, God led His people forth and God has guided us, that sometimes God uses people to lead us and guide us. In Psalm 77 and verse 20, listen to what the Word of God says about that same passage we were reading back there in Exodus 15:13 about God leading the children of Israel. In Psalm 77 and verse 20, the Word of God says, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock." Now I want you to listen to the next words. "By the hand of Moses and Aaron." Now what's he saying there? Who led them? Who led the children of Israel? Was it God who led them, or was it Moses and Aaron who led them? Was both. God led them, but He led them by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I think this Scripture substantiates the fact that God can lead us personally without anyone, but God can also use mothers and fathers. You know, Timothy was, I'm talking about Timothy in the Bible, was he a man that had had some mamas and grandmamas that had been guiding him and leading him? You go home and read the study in 1st and 2nd Timothy, and you'll find in both epistles that Timothy had had a mama and a grandmama who had led him. You know, when Marty was praying, he thanked God for his parents, his grandparents, his great-grandparents. When I wrote my Mother's Day card to my mama, I told her that I am receiving blessings today because of the faithfulness of my parents. Do you believe that? Do you believe that sometimes God just keeps blessing generation after generation because of one or two faithful saints of God? I'm still reaping blessings today. Listen, my mama to a great degree is what she is because of her parents. Did you know that? Those of you who are bringing up children, you're raising future parents. And you need to raise them in such a way that they can guide their children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Generations of people can be affected by you training up your children in the way they should go. You know, the reason many children are so off track today is because the parents have not been doing what they were supposed to be doing. May God help us as parents to realize the awesome responsibility we have to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, in closing, let me just mention one other thing. I'm just going to quote a couple of scriptures. Listen. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says this. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall, what? Direct thy paths. Now, is that a conditional leadership of the Spirit of God? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's a conditional leadership of God. God has promised me, if in all my ways I acknowledge God, if everything at work and in my home, if everywhere I am, if I am acknowledging God is my head, if I'm acknowledging God, if I'm looking to God for His way and His guidance, if in all my ways I acknowledge Him, what's the promise? He shall direct what? Thy paths. Now, what does that also tell me? If I don't acknowledge God, what's the conclusion I can draw there? He will not direct my paths. He will not direct my paths. Have you ever gone down a wrong path? You ever made some bad decisions that resulted in a lot of trouble in your life? But it's because you weren't acknowledging God in all of your ways. Go with me in closing. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to Psalm 25, and I'll close with this one verse of Scripture. Psalm 25, verse 9. The Word of God says in Psalm 25, verse 9, the meek, listen carefully, we're talking about conditional leadership. Now, many times God has led me without it being conditional, but then there are conditional leadership. Psalm 25, verse 9, the Word of God says, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. Who has God said He will guide in judgment and He will teach His way? The meek. May God help us to humble ourselves before the Lord. May God help us to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, knowing that then He will direct our paths. And may God lead us like He led the children of Israel. May He lead us forth every time we're in the wrong way. And may God guide us into His holy habitation is my prayer for Christ's sake.